Okay, so the water quality report draws attention to the problem of contamination of chemicals, pesticides, and radiation and bacteria in our drinking water. Can you just speak to a little bit how these impurities get into our drinking water?
You mentioned three different types of contamination. There's bacteriological or viral. There's chemical and there's radiological, and those can come from different sources. The risk that's most pressing or most of concern are the bacteriological risks, which can make people sick and even kill people in a short amount of time. And those can be from natural sources such as wildlife in a watershed. They can also be related to certain land use practices such as livestock raising in watersheds, for example. And you can also get contamination of that nature through your distribution system. So if you had a leak, say, in one of your distribution pipes, you might get some contamination in that way. Chemical contamination can also be from naturally occurring sources, but in many cases, those chemical contamination may result from water effluent discharges or even air emissions, which settle in water. And radiological contamination can also, again, be naturally occurring. It can result in some cases from power generation or some very limited industrial activities. But that's the radiological contamination, as I understand it, is not a major problem for British Columbia.
So what kind of health concerns can this cause people?
Bacteriological or viral contamination, these will cause diseases which would make people sick, usually in a very short amount of time. And there would be some form, usually, of gastrointestinal illness. That's a problem that is probably more prevalent than most people in Canada would realize, that our drinking water systems have what health experts call a background level of illness. So some people are getting sick all the time, and then there are times when the contamination levels rise and more people get sick, and so you have what the health experts then consider an outbreak. But for the most part in Canada or in BC, that those types of problems are largely controlled. However, that type of waterborne contamination is probably the leading cause of death worldwide. So, I mean, it's a very serious problem. Chemical contamination, in some cases, can make people acutely sick in a short amount of time. But more often, you get effects that occur over time. And so you have, for example, some chemical contamination can be from carcinogens, and so that can increase the risk of illnesses if a person drinks, that water source over a longer period of time. And there's also certain types of chemical contamination that are a result of the way we disinfect water. And so, for example, chlorine can react with organic material in water and create disinfection byproducts, and some health experts consider those to be carcinogens.
As a gold standard, what should the government be doing to make our drinking water drinkable and safe for consumption?
In water treatment, people, the experts talk about what is called a multi-barrier approach. So there's not just one thing that a water system can do, and that will take care of all problems. You need to take care of the water and all the way through the system. So that means, starting with your water source, you need to take steps to ensure that the water is as clean as possible. And so in British Columbia communities like Vancouver and Victoria, they're actually very fortunate because they have watersheds which are closed off for public access, and more recent, the industrial activity has always been limited in these areas, but more recently, any industrial activity seems to be being phased out or stopped in the watersheds, which is very useful. But in other communities in British Columbia, their water sources are in areas where there may be urban development, transportation infrastructure, or mining, logging, any number of things that might negatively impact water quality. So that's the first step, is taking steps to protect the water quality. Then you look at treatment of the water. And one of the things that you'll see in some places is a requirement that a municipality or your water provider filter their water as a first step in the treatment process, particularly if you're using a surface water source. That's not in the regulations in British Columbia right now. It's something that we've called for. So then beyond the protecting source water, treating water appropriately, you need to take care of the distribution system. You need to have qualified people running the system, and you need to be testing rigorously to ensure that no contaminants made it through the system.
So when you're referring to, there's no regulation to test surface water, so when...
Sorry, to filter surface water.
Filter surface water, okay. Just to see if I understand this correctly, getting tap water from things like lakes and stuff, there's no requirement to filter that?
No, there's no legal requirement to filter that water. There's legal requirements to treat it with chlorine, which deals with many of the threats, but it doesn't deal with all of the threats. And so a safer system that provides a higher level of water quality would, if you're dealing with the surface water source, would be one that includes some kind of filtration or filtration equivalent to actually take any organic matter or contamination out of the water before you disinfect it with something like chlorine. If you start with source water that, say, has a lot of sediment in it, that can actually interfere with the infection process. The organic material can interact with chlorine to create disinfection byproducts, which are some people consider harmful, some experts consider harmful. So if you look to the United States, that's a requirement in law there, that surface water sources for any water systems that are serving anything but the smallest communities, they are required to treat their surface water with filtration or equivalent.
We've already spoken about this a little bit, but in 2006, you gave BC a C+ as an overall grade for their water quality, and you talked about there are still concerns over treatment and contamination standards and testing. So we've already talked a little bit about treatment standards, but can you maybe speak to what concerns you still have about BC's contamination requirements?
The first step would be to set appropriate standards, limiting the presence of certain substances in the water. And the second step would be to have a rigorous testing program so that you ensure that your water is meeting the standards that you set on paper. In BC, right now, there are only three legally binding water quality standards, and those all relate to certain types of bacterial contamination. So they're related to coliforms and E. coli, which is a type of coliform. But if you look at things like Giardia, Cryptosporidium, chemical contamination, there are no standards for testing for those substances, or in some cases you can, instead of testing for the substances, you require treatment to ensure that those things are less likely to be present. So we're concerned about the very limited scope of water quality standards in BC. So if you look to, say, Ontario, they would have water quality standards, for nearly 100 different substances or water quality aspects. So the range of treatment or water quality standards in British Columbia is quite meager. And again, the testing requirements in British Columbia only relate to those. Now, so we consider that system inadequate. Now, it doesn't mean that an individual municipality is not testing for a broader range of contamination, or it doesn't mean that they're not looking to ensure that the water is safe for the entire suite of potential contamination, because some municipalities are, but it's not legally required, and certainly not all of them do test for the full range of potential contaminants that are listed in what are called the Canadian guidelines.
So, in other words, we could have chemical contaminants that are in our waters that we have no way of knowing about or that are not on the public record?
Well, it creates that potential, because now the situation now is that is often left to the discretion of an individual water system, whether or not they test for certain types of contamination, or in other cases, the provincial health authorities could order that a water provider test for a specific substance on a case-by-case basis. But again, as far as we understand, that's not a particularly widespread practice.
So in your estimation, should British Columbians feel confident drinking the water that comes out of their taps?
Well, I think many people should be able to feel confident about their drinking water system. But I would preface that by saying, because of the regulatory system, you shouldn't have automatic confidence that your drinking water is safe. You need to educate yourself about your drinking water that's coming into your home. So you need to know who your supplier is, what their water source is, what's available to people if they want to do that kind of investigation or testing results for previous years. So with a little bit of effort, people can look into that and find out whether or not there have been problems in their water system. So for the majority of people, they are drinking safe water. However, BC has, or at least as of some of the more recent studies that were published about 8 months ago, BC has the highest number of boil water alerts. Their drinking water is not as safe as it should be.
Is not boil water alerts a sign that the system is working, that we are testing for contaminants, and if they're present, we're warning people about them?
Certainly. I mean, boil water alerts are something that we would encourage the provincial authorities to issue in appropriate circumstances, including where it's uncertain or not there is a problem. People should be advised of that. We wouldn't want authorities to not issue those orders for fear of looking bad. But that said, when you have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of boil water alerts, and some of those have existed on systems and they've been in place for years at a time, that can suggest that there are problems that are known that are not being dealt with.
Have there been any steps by the provincial government since this report was released in the last 3 years to make any changes?
One of the things that the government is focusing on is protecting groundwater, drinking water sources that rely on groundwater, because that was, for the longest time in British Columbia, virtually unregulated. So you didn't have qualification standards for people who constructed wells, or you didn't have proper regulations to ensure that if somebody stopped using a well, that the well was closed off, because an improperly capped well can be a source of contamination if, say, rainwater washes into the well. So from that aspect, the government is taking some steps to address those problems. And the government has recently announced some plans that they call the Living Water Smart Plan, which sets out a number of targets that they would like to reach, and many of those would help to protect drinking water quality. But as of right now, those are just provincial government announcements. They haven't been actually put into effect. But on the major issues that we flagged in the report for BC, we haven't seen major changes.
I guess thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks. Good luck with this.